Wake up, sleepyheads. This is CJSF 90.1 FM.
And you're tuning in to Slumber Party.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, community radio from Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the stolen ancestral territory of the Kwikwetlem, Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh. You can listen online at cjsf.ca or on our radio app, which you can download from the app or Google Store, depending on your device. Keep up to date on our social media at linktree/CJSF Radio and learn more by visiting our website, cjsf.ca. Got a request? Text or call us at 778-782-CJSF, which is 2573. Welcome, everybody. This is Slumber Party, and I'm your host for tonight, DJ Coco. Usually, I'd be joined by DJ Star, but as I've been saying the past couple episodes, she's off in Germany studying abroad right now. So she'll be back in a little bit, but for now you have me. Yay. So, as usual, I have the music and topic all lined up for today, and I'll leave my topic to be a bit of a secret for later on, but I particularly enjoy this one, and it's based off this article that I read in Apple News, which I also sent my mom, and she's pretty interested in this as well. But before we do that, I am going to jump right into the music. So this first one is a collaboration between Claro and L. Michael's Affair, which is this soul group from the U.S., I believe. New York? Stand me if I'm maybe wrong about that. I will check on that and report back. But this is recently released, called Anticipate by the collaboration. So hope you enjoy.
Thank you. nothing, but we don't think that's true. So I'm playing with the thought.
Swanson, and I'm a dad of two young girls. It was a game changer when we learned that $10 a day childcare was being offered to both our kids. And we want all BC families to have this option. To get there, BC has to do three key things. Pay fair and consistent wages for all childcare educators. Transition all existing programs to $10 a day. And plan childcare expansion more like we do schools and hospitals. BC's on the right track, but we need to go faster. Go to 10aday.ca to learn more.
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, community radio from Simon Fraser University. You are tuning into Slumber Party, and I'm DJ Coco, and I'm your host for this wonderful Tuesday night, which is the night that this should be airing, because I may have pre-recorded this, but this is all brand new content I'm bringing to you this week anyways, so don't worry too much. That last song you just heard was called Stay All Summer by the artist Mama from their album Welcome to My Blue Sky. Awesome song. I think this will be one of my summer songs that I'll be listening to on repeat, so I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And I've been feeling like jumping into the topic, so what I've been doing for the past couple weeks is playing a little jazz in the background, so we're gonna do some jazz again. Kind of lighten up the mood. I feel like it also relaxes me, because ever since DJ Star left for Germany and I've been doing Slumber Party solo, holy cow, I still get so nervous speaking on the mic by myself. Feels like It's like a knot stuck in my throat whenever I talk, when I don't have the comfort of someone else being there. And so this is kind of just a fear that I'm trying to overcome, which is just being independent and doing things on my own without the comfort of someone else being there for me to rely on. But that's a separate story, separate topic that I'll get into most likely one day. But what I wanted to talk about today is from this article that I read in Apple News a couple days ago, and it was by the publisher. Since Apple News has multiple news article platforms on there, if you subscribe just to Apple News, you get Globe and Mail, get New York Times, etc., etc. And so one of them is the New Scientist, which is pretty popular scientific research publisher. And so this particular story was about autism in girls specifically. So there is something that I want to get into of the male bias in research and how that recently, what they're finding and what the article goes over, is that girls with autism have been severely underdiagnosed because of our diagnostic criteria that is based off of male research, and male participants who are autistic males have research conducted on them, and then I guess are the gold standard for the diagnosing criteria for both boys and girls. So I will get into that, but I just want to give kind of a brief overview on why I chose this, what even is autism. So I'm currently on co-op in research as a research assistant, so I'm very interested in how research is inherently biased, and that we should really be careful over what statistics we are taking and how research is conducted. Now, especially working as a research assistant, sometimes even my guesses, for example, how many laps a person does back and forth, is prone to bias because maybe I looked away for one moment and I missed something. And so other things like where we select participants for our research studies, they come from a primarily white neighborhood or a Caucasian demographic area. And it's good to be conscious of this and be able to see this in research broadly. And so this is one thing that I'm interested in, and this underdiagnosis of autism is particularly interesting to me because of my experiences of being diagnosed pretty late as an adult with inattentive ADHD, and being told kind of the same gender stereotypes with ADHD, like, oh, it's this hyperactive boy, always running around, obviously can't pay attention. And so when I went in for a diagnosis a couple years beforehand, where I actually didn't get the diagnosis, the teachers all were in shock, particularly my French teacher who was interviewed was shocked that my family reached out for me to get a diagnosis, because I obviously looked like I was trying to pay attention in class, that I had good grades and that I didn't fidget around and things like that, even though there were other things like me going up to ask her questions because I wasn't listening the entire time and things like that, which is separate but similar. And so I wanted to talk about autism specifically today as part of the article. So many of you may know what autism is, but I just wanted to give the brief definition, which is that autism, also known as now autism spectrum disorder, so people with autism are on a whole spectrum. You can be high functioning, which means that you have one of more milder symptoms of autism and it isn't as noticeable, and then some people it's pretty severely noticeable. And so autism is not a mental illness. Just want to say that off the bat. It is a That time of night where I can't pronounce anything. It's a neurodevelopmental condition. And so the current diagnostic criteria for autism and autism spectrum disorder is of two conditions. So one of them is having persistent difficulties with social communication and social interaction. And the second one is restricted and repetitive patterns of behaviors, activities, or interests to the extent that these limit and impair everyday functioning. And so autism is usually diagnosed around age 5. So in younger kids, and in a more stereotypical manner, that you notice that the kids are not talking much, they have less eye contact, they may like objects over people, they have repetitive movements or very specific interests and liking things being done in a certain way, so a lot of routine. And this is for the younger side, but broadly speaking, the current diagnostic criteria is for younger kids and adults with ADHD all across the board. And so I would say that if I had to sum this up in one sentence for autism, is that you basically have speech and behavior problems that all have to do with the social realm of human life. And there are also others you may have heard of. So one called Asperger's syndrome, which is from the, I believe, psychologist Hans Asperger's. And this is a part of autism. It is not separate. So it's kind of like a square is a rectangle, but a rectangle isn't a square. So Asperger's meets both criteria of having difficulties with social communication and social interaction. And they also have, people with this also have restricted and repetitive behaviors, activities, or interests. But it also includes having above average intelligence, because autism across the board can have different levels of intelligence and IQ. So some people with autism may not be very smart, and some may be very, very smart. So Asperger's is an outdated term, so it just gets grouped in with autism spectrum disorder now. Not a standalone diagnosis anymore. But further going into autism, it is diagnosed very subjectively. So being a neurodevelopmental condition, unlike things like having diabetes, where you can easily test that, okay, I have insulin or I don't have insulin, with things like autism or ADHD, it is subjective, and there is no biomarker in your body that says you have this. So this means that modern diagnostic criteria uses a lot of questionnaires and interviews. So as we see, this is prone to cognitive bias and the bias of human interviewers. But going more into the stereotypes of autism, so that aside, we'll get into that a bit later. I kind of made this picture of a boy that I would say that most people would imagine when thinking of someone with autism. And this is reinforced by a lot of popular culture as well. So a couple examples of this would be like Sam Gardner from Atypical, or some of the theories of Sheldon from The Big Bang Theory, which he wasn't coined that he was, but there is a lot of speculation. And just TV shows vastly using male stereotypical autistic characters. And so the actual ratio right now of autism, which is something else that's pretty commonly thought of, is that it is something that affects boys more, which is a big key to this article. And what I'm trying to get out here is that it is primarily thought of a male or a guy's disease. Or not disease. a guy's condition, say. And so the ratio is actually a 4-to-1 ratio as of right now, which is commonly stated. And that means that boys are 4 times more likely to be diagnosed with autism. So I can give you a fake example that I made of this character called Bobby with autism. And I would say that this kind of fits the stereotype of what is thought of autism and the fact that so many more boys seem to have it. Keynote seem is that, let's say, Bobby is introverted. He is socially awkward. He struggles with eye contact and kind of expressing proper facial expressions. So when you tell him a joke, he doesn't really laugh much. Or when you tell him something sad, he doesn't really change his facial expression. Bobby may have some odd body movements. So maybe when you're talking, he's rocking slightly back and forth, or he's got very unusual stiff body language. Maybe he's sitting up very strangely stiff. And maybe Bobby, he speaks in a robotic tone, or he has some delayed speech. So when you tell him something, it takes him a couple moments to respond. And just overall having a lot of difficulties with conversation and not keeping it going. And that's just more appearance-wise, conversation-wise. And going into some of the behaviors and personalities that are pretty stereotypical is that, let's say, Bobby has very niche, specific interests. He's very highly knowledgeable in the most obscure areas sometimes, but the most common ones which autistic people focus on would be, for example, trains, collecting coins, or very niche Star Wars off-brand games, for example. And maybe Bobby gets upset when specific routines are disrupted. So there's my very, very stereotypical example of Bobby. No shame to Bobby. This is just something that I made up. And maybe this is what you think of what an autistic person would seem like. But what this article is trying to say is that there have been recent new findings and more in-depth look into finding research in how women are diagnosed with this current criteria, which being the persistent difficulties with social communication and social interaction, and two, the restricted and repetitive behavior patterns of behaviors, activities, or interests. So, which I kind of gave the example of Bobby. And they actually have found research on the brain for specifically female autistic brains, and that they work differently than male autistic ones. So this may not come as a massive, massive shocker, because yes, boys and girls are different, males and females are different, but it's kind of more the fact that we've been diagnosing women and girls for a test that was made by men for men. And this kind of all goes into this idea of masking, which is what differs between a lot of female autistic individuals versus male autistic individuals. And so maybe you ask, what is masking? And there can be different kinds of maskings, so I'm just going to give a broad definition of social masking, which is to hide or suppress your natural or the person's natural autistic traits to fit in with society and to please others, or just, yeah, fit in. And so these are things like, for speech-wise, forcing eye contact, so making sure you look at the other person, hiding some of your personal niche interests, so maybe you really want to talk about trains, but you're not going to because you know the other person would get bored after you talking about it for 5 minutes straight. There's a lot of exhausting rehearsed questions and having conversation scripts before going in to meet a person, and kind of prepping yourself before every social interaction. And it goes into the behavior too. So masking is perhaps you want to fidget really badly, but you know that you shouldn't fidget. And as well with autistic people, there are a lot of sensory overload. So masking would be not speaking out about how the overhead light is really annoying you, or how your sweater is feeling really scratchy on your skin and you don't want to say anything, but you're feeling overwhelmed. And so masking can be done consciously or unconsciously. And you may also ask, well, doesn't everybody mask and do some degree of masking? Like, we want to present ourselves and we want to fit in too. I mean, all normal people do that and try this. But it's to a point for autistic masking when it hits this level of intensity and exhaustion, shame, misunderstanding, and loss of identity, that you kind of feel that when you mask, you put on this persona, and then you go home and you feel exhausted and you don't feel like you were yourself. This is where the sense of loss of identity comes in, and you are tired, you are stressed, and you're anxious, like, no one likes me for my real self. And this loss of identity, which can lead into more severe symptoms, like, or severe effects like depression or suicidal thoughts. And what they found is that autistic girls are much more prone to this social masking. And this they found in brain imaging studies, that autistic girls have a higher social reward and motivation. Goals? Yeah, I don't know, but yeah, you get what I mean. But it's, they want to have this social reward and motivation, more compared to autistic boys. And so what recent studies are finding is that there is actually a greater connectivity of these social brain networks in autistic girls versus boys. And so kind of reiterating all of that back into one little sentence, the overall findings is that autistic girls and women have more powerful behavioral drive for this social engagement and this social reward, and they're more motivated to be more social, and they are more highly reactive to social rejection. And you may ask, like, so what does this mean? How does this make any change? And so this kind of goes into the current diagnostic autism criteria, which I mentioned before, which is the problems with social conversation and behaviors, which autistic girls are able to mask a lot of these issues. So the test may ask, like, oh, how hard is it for you to make friends? Or do you make eye contact in conversation? And so girls are able to write down, I mean, yes, I can make friends. I don't have very many social problems with people. And so they go unnoticed. And this is because the current diagnostic criteria can't pick up on